Lake Taps, how you doing?
Good.
Woo! Awesome. Love that. Steve, the pastor, good to have you guys with us today. It's been a crazy week. Before we jump into that, I want you to know that, so we got to take the gifts over to Bonnie Lake Elementary, and they're really well done. Stephanie bought, and she had some pictures of this shopping cart, like three of them that were loaded with gifts, and the youth like wrapped them. And they were great. When we walked in, like Ellie and Donna are at the front desk of Bonnie Lake Elementary, and they're like, these look wonderful. And they're wrapped, they're pretty, there was ribbon, and it just looked really good. And you guys need to know that you're being represented well at Bonnie Lake Elementary. Even Mary Beth told me, now Mary Beth is at Prairie Ridge, those presents you put under the tree made it all the way to Prairie Ridge. And she said, she's like, I gave away 60. I think I might run out. And I'm like, oh no, like we didn't. She's like, no, that's a great thing. Like people are learning that there's quality here and they're coming to get gifts. And she's been doing this for a while. So I tell you all that to say that we've been doing a great job. Momentum is going forward. Keep it up. People are experiencing being cared for and being loved. Sound good?
Yeah, it is good.
And I want you guys to make sure that you realize the influence. Sometimes it takes a while to get momentum going, and it's happening. So here's the deal. It's been a crazy week. Did you guys get my email? Sort of. Maybe you did, maybe you didn't. You're like, well, we got a phone call, we got an email. I have some news that's been difficult. This has been a bit of time in the works. It's been a little kicky and screamy. I've been a 12-year-old at times over the last maybe 8 months. We have decided, Carrie and I have decided, that it is time for us to move closer to my parents. They live in Salem, Oregon, and God has been opening doors and showing how it's time for us to begin to get close to them, to show them some care. You're going to see me for the next 6 months, and you're going to be like, I thought he said he was leaving, and I still see this joker, like, was he, like, what's up? Well, I thought you might treat me better if you knew I was leaving, so that's why I'm telling you now. I thought maybe that would happen. I'm just kidding. It's been great. It's been hard. The reason it's 6 months is it takes a while to get another pastor. We really want to do this transition well. So it's been a while. About June, July, August, conversations with my parents, with my brother. I'm the other sibling. There's two of us. He's got a gig in L.A. He feels like God's still got him at his gig in L.A. He's a great, godly guy. We're in agreement on this. And it just came down to, I think we can pull this off. So that's that. You know what God has done for us through you guys? So if you're on the fence about joining a church, here's something that you get when you join a church that you may not think about until you join the church. And sometimes it's hard to follow Jesus. You're like, well, what do I do in any given situation? How do I know what Jesus would do in this situation? This last year, we have seen many of you care for your parents in very amazing ways. Parents that either move closer or just you've had to step up and reach out to them in ways that you hadn't before. And it's been really good for us to see you all do that. And I think God used that to prime the pump in us to say, hey, this is your season to step into that. So we're grateful for that. I'm excited to be able to do that. And I'm also sad. And I don't know how you guys do with both at the same time. It's a drag. But anyway, that's where we're at. So I still got a message. You're going to be like, well, how in the world is that going to work with your message? You're going to be really surprised. So come to worship, right? We're talking about coming to worship. I don't have a manger up here. Coming to worship. Like the wise men came to worship, which is where you give something to God, not so much get something from God. So coming to worship, one thing we do is we lift our hands. So come on, we do this at church. Lift your hands, both of them. You're under arrest. You got it. Remember, brings back bad memories. This is what you're going to do when the Seahawks beat the Panthers today, right? Like this is victory. This is surrender. This is victory. Both these things are in your relationship with God. You surrender and you got victory. Okay, good. We talked about bringing gifts. Like bringing gifts is an act of worship. And some of you gave for the first time last week. And that part of you will wake up. We serve a generous God. He asks us to give all that we have. And as you bring, that's why Christmas offering is so great. Because you get to bring something and just kind of lay it before God. So today, guess what we're going to do? This is an act of worship. And here's what it is. Pour out your hearts. Pour out our hearts. Say it with me. Pour out our hearts. Hearts. Good. It's up there. Do it again, please. Pour out our hearts. So that's an act of worship. When you and I come and we cry out to God. You might be like, really? I'm like, really? And this is one of those things where hands is one thing, gifts is one thing. When you pour out your heart, it's like in your soul. It's the part of you, if you have a lot of responsibility, and we all do, sometimes you have to hold it together for people. You got to be the strong one for people. You don't need to be the strong one for God. Isn't that cool? Pour out our hearts. Say it with me. Pour out our hearts. All right, so you're not going to believe how often this comes up. I mean, you might. And pour out your heart works with any area of life that you may, like any season, and you may be overwhelmed with gratitude. Maybe God has worked in your life. You can still pour out your heart to him. Maybe you're in that season where you don't know what's up. It's kind of blah, kind of bland, kind of going through the motions. God's not great. God's not dead. He's just not really. You're like, I don't really know what. How do you revitalize that? Pour out your heart. And when you're going through a tough time and you don't know your way out of it and the future's uncertain and all these questions are swirling in your head, pour out your heart is maybe the best thing you can do. So as we think about today, we think about, you know, I'm thinking about uncertain future. You might think about for the church, for my family, all these different. Pour out our heart. So check out these scriptures. So David, in Psalm 142, I'm going to read you verse 2. He says, I pour out before him my complaint. I pour out before God my complaint. Before him I tell my trouble. I want you to begin to see this pattern of you don't just talk to God when life is good, you talk to God when life is bad. Like you do good and you also do bad. It's not just good. He also wants to hear the bad. In verse 5, I cry to you, Lord. I say you are my refuge, my portion in the land of the living. Do you guys know that refuge comes up over and over and over again? In Psalm 62, verse 8, trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our what? Refuge. He is our refuge. We pour out our hearts to God. And what is a refuge? Like what? Why do we do that? Because God is our safe place. Did you guys have a safe place growing up? Like as a kid? A little special safe place? Nobody? One friend told me it was outside. I'm like, why? He's like, my dogs were big and I felt safe. I'm like, that's cool. My dog was small. I did not go outside. Another friend said that she crawled into her toy chest. The funny thing was, in order to hide in the toy chest, she had to take all the toys out of the toy chest. So you knew if she was in there because all the toys were on the floor, but the lid was down and she was inside. I thought that was awesome. So my closet had two, like an upper rack of clothes and a lower rack of clothes. And you'd open the door, you spread apart the jackets, and you could sit behind the jackets and then reach your hand underneath and close the closet door and then put the clothes in front of you. It was like a double layer of darkness. It was quiet. It was warm. And it was my hiding place. And I could, you're like, are you sure? You're kind of excited. Are you sure you don't still do that? Well, I thought about it at times. As you get older, sometimes a place turns into a person. And you may have one of those parents that you run to. Maybe it's an aunt or an uncle. I felt this pretty strongly in the sixth grade, middle school, and a kid named Jeremy showed up from California, foot taller than everybody else. Because of Jeremy, we won the sixth grade boys championship in basketball. He was that guy, kind of a big brick, solid tower kind of guy. Not real fast, but you don't have to be. Also, Van Buskirk is next to Will Height. Jeremy became my locker partner. So there's that. And when your locker partner is the tallest kid in school and he's got your back, then if you run your mouth, which I don't, but maybe if I did, right, the muscles got your back. And so there's this refuge. There's a safety. Sometimes we find that in people. When the power goes out, for some reason, when the whole house is dark, my kids feel safer when they come running to my room. And I'm like, well, it's just as dark in here as it is everywhere else. The power's out. The power's out, right? You're like, well, hey, whatever. Like, or imagine like an earthquake, right? When the whole house is shaken, what if they run up? Our bedroom is on the top third floor, like the wrong place to run in an earthquake. But why do they go there? Because it's where mom and dad are at. And sometimes we go to people when we want refuge. And I kind of feel like God knows all that. And so here's the invitation. When you pour out your heart, God is your refuge. God is your place of safety. Our son Bryson's here. Hey, Bryson, what's up? Bryson went to Australia The great thing about Australia is it's completely a time zone and like 3 days different, or a day and a half. It's just weird. It's like he lived Wednesday twice. He left Hong Kong at 8 p.m. on Wednesday, and he arrived here at 3 p.m. on Wednesday. So that was pretty cool. I was like, wait, you left at 8 and you're here at 3. Good time, bro. That's good. Like, you guys are moving. You're cooking. Different dimension of speed. So one thing he didn't do is when he got his plane ticket home, he didn't really care about what time the plane showed up. He wasn't like, oh, well, I got to be careful because if it's in the middle of the workday, like mom and dad, they might be working. Or I don't want to go when there's traffic, which he didn't care about workday or traffic, middle of the day, lots of traffic. He just scheduled it because I think it was the cheapest flight. Is that right? Like the cheapest flight, that's what he cares about. Why? Because parents love to be there for their kids. It's just within us. And I think God feels the same way. So what I want you to start to realize, and by the way, there's the response cards. Would you guys get ready? I mean, I want you to take a response card today. It's around you somewhere in front or next. And grab a response card at some point. And I want you to begin to think about what you would say if you could pour out your heart to God. Think about that thing. Okay, if I don't have to hold it together, if I don't have to look strong, if I can just speak freely, this is what I would mention to God. Like, this is how I would pour my heart out to God. What is it? God wants to meet our needs. So sermons have 3 points. This one's got 2. You guys can have your money back if you want. I don't know what to tell you. It's maybe a little quicker. I usually charge more for shorter sermons. Believe it or not, they're cheaper. They're more expensive than the longer ones. So here's the 2 points. I want you to remember God's faithfulness to the past. Like the first point, this whole thing about pouring out your heart. When you pour out your heart, remember God's faithfulness in the past, right? And then the second point is trust the power of God for the future. So you remember the past, like God's been faithful, like remember the stories. Like you may not feel it in the moment, like you're pouring out your heart. You may not feel it, but remember his faithfulness in the past. And then as you look forward, put trust in his power for the future. So David does this in Psalm 42, verse 3. Check this out. If you guys don't know how to do this well, steal it from David. David is so good at this stuff. Psalm 42, 3 says this, "My tears have been my food day and night." Have you guys ever been in that time of your life when you're just weeping, where it's just heavy, where you don't want to be around people, you're just overwhelmed with emotion? "My tears have been my food day and night. While people say to me all day long, where is your God?" Verse 4, David said, "These things I what? Remember." Like, I remember as I pour out my soul. And then look what David says next. "How I used to go to the house of God under the protection of the Mighty One with shouts of joy and praise among the festive throng." Like, there was a season for David when he had a lot to sing about, when he had friends shoulder to shoulder, side by side. He was praising God for how he was seeing God move in his life. And there's a season when he doesn't see it. And so what does he do? He remembers back when he saw God's faithfulness clearly. I remember God's faithfulness. Go back to those good times and remember how God came through. This next verse is cool because David starts preaching to himself. Have you guys ever been in that moment when you actually start to listen? Like, you're like, I need to preach to myself. Like, I got to say this to myself. And so David kind of switches gears in verse 5. And he says, "Why, my soul, are you downcast? Why so disturbed within me?" And then he tells himself, "Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God." Sometimes as we go through this process, we got to start preaching to ourselves. Like, it's okay. Like, what are you doing? I got to preach to myself. Like, maybe it's in the car. Like, preach to yourself. And I've had one of those weeks where when you start to begin and think about the transitions, how do I tell church staff? How do I tell the church? How do I tell my friends? And by the way, after 18 years, the church begins to feel like your family, right? By the way, my oldest daughter, she wants to be adopted. You guys can adopt her. She's like, "Can I be adopted?" I'm like, "I think you can. Your mom wants to keep you, but I think we can. We can do that." So anyway, she's probably going to be mad if you all go to her at once, so we'll just take the highest bidder. You guys figure it out. Come back to us. But you pour out your heart, and when life is hard and it's heavy and you don't feel good, and sometimes right doesn't always feel good, amen? Sometimes the right thing doesn't feel good, in the moment. Over time, I think God will come through. Remember God's faithfulness in the past. Pour out our hearts. Come on. Pour out our hearts. It's an act of worship when we pour out our hearts. Some of you have a future that is shaky. Some of you have a marriage that is rocky. Some of you have kids that are struggling. Some of you have debt that is overwhelming. God asks us to pour out our hearts. You know, some people are like, why? You know, why? Are you sure God wants to hear that? Are you sure? I mean, I always felt like God wanted, you know, he's good and he's right and he's holy and he's perfect and we put God up on the throne where he belongs. But he wants to hear the needs of his children. He wants to know your heart. He wants you to have permission to pour out your heart. If you don't believe me, there's a whole book in the Bible called Lamentations. Lamenting. Like they got a book, the audacity to say, okay, here's a book of your Bible, God, called Lamenting. Like things aren't going great. And if you look at the people of God, and as Jason talked about, the coming Messiah, there was generation of disappointment and exile. Things aren't turning out. What did they do to get through it? Here's what they did in chapter 3, verse 19 of Lamentations. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. You guys ever use that word? The gall. I mean, it's just like, oh, wow. Like gall, like we're going there. Like gall, it's like deep bitterness, deep hatred. It's like that part of you that you're afraid to give voice to. Like, I don't want to write this out. Like, I don't know if God, you don't think he can handle it? And what if you remember your affliction, your wandering, the bitterness, the gall? I remember them and my soul is downcast within me. Verse 21, yet this I call to mind. So you can see the writer, we're not sure who wrote Lamentations. They say Jeremiah the prophet, but we're not sure. A lot of people were sad back then. It could be almost anybody. Yet this I call to mind. So they're reaching back in the past to remember God's faithfulness. This I call to mind, and therefore I have what? Hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. So life is heavy, life is hard, bitterness will consume you. Imagine deep bitterness, deep hatred, it can consume you, except with God in our life, God's love in our life, the writer says we are not consumed. Like it's getting a lot of me, but it's not going to get all of me because I still have this hope because your compassion never fails. So actually, think back, like even now as you sit, like think back to God's faithfulness in your life. Maybe it was the moment when you felt God and you understood God's love through Jesus, and for the first time you realized that God isn't this big perfect being who's mad and angry and judgmental and condemning and trying to just wipe you out, but instead he came with compassion and grace and love and forgave you. That first moment, that whole thing came together. Maybe that's where you go to remember. Maybe God has blessed you with work and you've got a job opportunity or you've got business going on that has just exploded and you feel like it's beyond anything that you could have done. You don't deserve it. And you're like, man, God, you have come through and blessed me in amazing ways. Maybe you realize for the first time that you're in a community and your life isn't easy, but for the first time you're in a community so you don't have to face the pain on your own. And that's a new thing for you. Maybe God led you to the doctor and the doctor found out that it was stage one and they could treat it. And you're like, God, I've seen your faithfulness. Maybe it's a kid who the doctors don't know why, but they're better. And as a parent, you're just praising God because that hurdle has you made it. So we're going to remember. So come on, we're going to remember. Pour out our heart. Come on. Pour out our heart. We're going to jump back. We're going to jump back all the way back and remember God's faithfulness in the past. That's important. So the cool thing is that as you remember his faithfulness in the past, this whole trust him for the power of the future goes hand in hand with that. They go together. So now we're going to talk about point two, trust God's power for the future. So I love Psalm 102. I'm going to rattle through these eight verses. There's actually 11, but I'm going to give you eight, and then we're going to jump to 12. What I want you to see about these eight is how honest David is, how sincere David is from the depths of his soul. And Psalm 102 maybe needs to be where you start as you practice pouring out your heart to God. You might be like, I'm not good at this. I was always supposed to be in a good mood when I come to church. I'm always supposed to be happy with God and then deal with these problems and happy with God. Now I want you to be honest and pour out your heart with God. Go here to practice. Psalm 102. Hear my prayer, Lord. Let me cry for help. Let my cry for help come to you. Do not hide your face from me when I'm in distress. Turn your ear to me when I call. Answer me quickly. My days vanish like smoke. My bones burn like glowing embers. My heart is blighted. It's withered like grass. I forget to eat my food. Have you guys ever been in those situations where there's so much sorrow and so much grief, and the day goes by and you haven't had an appetite for anything? And your friends are looking at you like, have you eaten? And you can't remember when you did. I forget to eat my food. In my distress, I groan aloud. I'm reduced to skin and bones. I'm like a desert owl among the ruins. I lie awake. Anybody see the clock at 11 p.m., at 1 a.m., at 2:30 a.m., at 4:30 a.m., and at 5:15? And then you feel like you can maybe get up. I've become like a bird alone on a roof. All day long, my enemies taunt me. So he just keeps going. He's pouring out his heart to God. It's an act of worship. And then in verse 12, he comes to these three words that I want you guys just to rest in. And these three words completely change things in a moment. Like everything just gets put in its place. Some of you, these three words are going to give you hope. Like you're going to say, yes, all that is true, but there's hope in my situation. When life is beyond your understanding, these three words, I don't know how it's going to work out. Well, these three words, I don't know what to do. And here they are, verse 12 and 102. David says, but you, Lord, all this stuff is going on in his life, but you, Lord, sit enthroned forever. Those are your three. Sit enthroned forever. Like God isn't going anywhere. He's still on the throne. He sits enthroned forever. Your renown endures through all generations. So in essence, David is pouring out his heart. Like my life isn't great. It's not good. And he's realizing that. And there's a progression I want you to see. And through this whole thing, he finally comes to the point, but God, you are still on the throne. Like you'll be on the throne forever. Like that's one thing I can count on. So here's a problem. Here's a challenge that I feel like I have, and maybe you do as well. And I want to give you permission to do this. David could have started Psalm 102 with, you sit enthroned forever. Like that could have been the first thing out of his mouth, but it wasn't. Because you don't get to the point of praise until you push into and through the pain. Into the pain and through the pain, and eventually you get to this point of praise. And you're not just like, well, I don't know what else to say, so I'll praise God. It's just that as you reflect on the reality of your situation and you pour your heart out as a person of faith, at some point you're going to come to the conclusion, but God, you are still God. Like of all the things that are happening to me, I got hope because you sit enthroned forever. So what I want to challenge you to do, like it's 11 to 1, like 11 verses of my life is a shipwreck, right? 11 verses of life is a shipwreck and one verse of God, you sit on the throne. So I give you permission in your journal, in your prayers, to give God 11 verses of you and your life and the difficulty that you're struggling with. Pour out your heart. And maybe when you get done, add a few more. And then just kind of rest in that. And as you and I push into the pain and through the pain, something happens. We get to this point of praise. You don't get there first. I don't know why we have short-circuited the system. We feel like life has to be good and rainbows and unicorns and praise you, Jesus, right? And we'll get there because that's the point of the story. But he died on a cross before he raised from the dead. And you got to get into the pain and through the pain before you get to the point of praise. So what if you said, God, I'm going to complain right now. I'm going to be honest right now. I'm going to let it just run out of my lips. From the depths of my soul, from the pit of this pain, I cry out to you. I don't understand. I don't like it. I wish there were another way. God, I don't get it. And in the process of that, we come around, God, you're still in charge. God, I still believe you're on the throne. I still believe that you're up to something, that your plans are to prosper and to bless, not to harm, plans to give hope and a future. Some of you guys have some deep pain. Remember how we keep mentioning each week that Christmas is great for amplifying and magnifying whatever you got cooking. And if your life is hard right now, Christmas tends to make it harder. And if your life is good right now, Christmas, I actually said, tends to make it gooder. So that's the way it is. Some of you guys have really hard things. And if you lost a loved one last year, Christmas is hard. Life is hard, and Christmas will make it harder. You have an empty spot. Would you do me a favor and just pour out your heart? 11 verses to 1. Just let it out. Write it down. Get it out. Just push into the pain and push through the pain. Maybe for you it's finances, and you've tried and you got a budget and the debt and the bills and they're just coming and you don't really see any way out in the foreseeable future, and it can kind of squash all the hope and all the dreams and all that stuff. It's okay. Would you cry out to God? Would you just cry out to God? Uncertain future. It's a beautiful thing to have faith and trust. And you can be opportunistic and imagine what it can be like. And if it's glorifying, like honor your mom and dad, right? Like that's a pretty powerful command, like one of the commandments. It's a good one because it's got a promise. Did you guys know that? There's a promise. Like if you keep that, it says that it'll go well with you. Like whatever that means, like it will go well with you and you're going to live a long time. So I'm going to be 120 because I'm taking care of my parents. You know what I'm saying? Like that's what's going to happen. That doesn't sound good. But we pour out our hearts. Just because it's a good thing doesn't mean it's an easy thing. We pour out our hearts to God. And we trust that God will provide. So we've been doing a lot of wrestling in the Wilhite family. We all react in different ways and we're all processing this thing differently. But I love to remember the past. Like, remember God's faithfulness, because I know that he has power. I trust that power for the future. You may not know the story of how I ended up here. I mean, it's really crazy how we got up here. I came here because my dad knew Pastor Art. You're like, well, what was the interview process like? My dad knew Pastor Art. That's what it was like. He knew Pastor Art. That's how kind of how it was. And I came and I met people. I was coming to be the youth guy, and it was April of 2001. That's a lot of years ago. We actually thought it was a typo. We thought we had never heard of Sumner. We heard of Sumter. Have you guys heard of Sumter? It's a town in Oregon, a little tiny, it's got a P. We're like, oh, they left the P out. Like, I wouldn't go there. That's a super small town. And then it turns out it was actually Sumner, and it was Lake Taps Christian Church in a city called Bonnie Lake. And I was like, well, that doesn't make any sense. Like, why would they have these lakes, and why are they weird? Like, what's with this place? And so I didn't know where it was. Someone said it was by Puyallup, and I'm like, well, I don't know where that is. And they said, well, it's by the Dome. And you mean the Tacoma Dome? Yeah. I go, oh, I've been to a game there for a while. One time the Blazers played the Sonics in the Tacoma Dome. Do you guys remember that? When the King Dome was down. Shabam, there for my Blazers. So that's how I first heard about Bonnie Lake, and we came up and we interviewed. And my dad was of the persuasion that, you know, Art's a good enough guy where whatever he tells you to do, just do it. Like, whatever he's got cooking, like, it's a good church. He's a good guy. My first job at a church, my first full-time job at a church is right here. And he's like, you need to be around a good guy. And 18 years ago, Art handed off. Well, he didn't hand it off right then. He waited a year and a half. Thank you, Pastor Art. And still alive and well, kicking down in Sumner. He's a great guy. And a year and a half later, I became the preaching pastor. And I tell you, to inherit a church, you know how many of my friends are working out of a school, setting up, taking down? I got a building. How cool is that? God was so faithful in providing for us things that we didn't even know that we needed at the time. We showed up with Bryson. Bryson was like two. Was he one or two? Yeah, two. Well, and she was packing Matthew is what she was doing. Matthew's born in Auburn. He came up. We were here long enough to push Matthew out. And then we've been having kids, right, like ever since. But what God, here's what, yeah, sorry. To have a church pass the baton to a guy who's 31, God knew that I needed a grace-filled church. First church job, every grace and every seat, like for this guy. You don't last 18 years if your church doesn't have grace. God was there. I remember his faithfulness. God knew we needed a community to raise a family. It's hard to beat Bonnie Lake, isn't it? God provided that for us. God provided us with friends, and I think they'll be lifelong friends, so that I could have encouragement and support in the ministry. And I can tell you, I know two things for sure. The first thing I know is that my future is uncertain. I know that for sure. You know what else I can tell you? That God sits enthroned forever. And when you put those things together, the uncertain future isn't that uncertain. I trust in God. So here's what I want you guys to do. Grab a response card. I want to know. Like, grab a response card. It's around. Stephanie's going to bring up a basket. Band, when you guys come up, Jason's going to sing a little bit. And basically, what I want to happen, here's what I want to know. I want to be able to pray for you guys. As you think about it, if I was going to pour out my heart, if I was going to tell you, like, if I didn't have to hold it together, if I didn't have to look strong, if I didn't have to be the one to guard my thoughts and my emotions, if I could just tell God, if I could pour it out and be honest with him, here's where I would go. And maybe for you, it's something to do with your kids. Man, kids hit a deep spot in our heart. Maybe it's your health. You know something's up. You don't want to go in because you don't want to know. And maybe you're like, that's how I would pour out my heart. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one. Maybe it's the future. Maybe we share that. Maybe it's your marriage. Maybe you're like, man, if I had one thing to pour out my heart, this thing is shaky. And this is where my concern is at. Maybe it's with school. Maybe you put on a face when you come here, but when you go home, you feel alone and isolated. And you're like, if I could pour out my heart, it would be, God, would you give me a friend? I need someone who I can be real with. Maybe some of you want to write down schedule. Like, my schedule is out of control. God, I want to pour out my heart. Could you help me figure out? I don't know how much longer I can keep up this pace. I want to pray for you guys. So write those things out. I'll pray for them during the week. You can go anonymous. I don't care. Or you can just write your name down if you want. We also have a prayer team. There's 30 people that can also be praying for you guys this week.